Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now, your guide for credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Okay, ball is in the air.
Yes, it is. Ball is in the air.
Ball is in the air. Kickoff, college football, high school football, NFL this week. So, everything's going good, man.
Man, and then you know what? We in person for school. We in person for football games. It's just that good fall feeling. Get to put the hoodie on, tailgate, apple cider, hot chocolate. Man, I can't wait. And I have my tickets to Michigan State's football game, and this show is pre-recorded today. And my wife's like, she got to do some. We got to handle some business with her family in Detroit. And I'm like, I'm going to go to the game. No, you ain't going to make a game by yourself. It's been 18 months. And there ain't been no in-person games, really. You going to wait till the next game they have at home. I was like,
okay.
That was tough. She's like, I ain't going to let you have that fun by yourself. I got to be with you, man.
I know that's right.
Yes.
We'll be out there.
Yep. So it's all good. And, you know,
yep.
Like Michigan State won their first against Northwestern. Michigan won their first against Western. Our boy, Ladarius Jefferson, scored a Paul Bunyan touchdown. He tried to stand like the Bunyan statue.
Pushed right through, man.
Yep. LSU, Anthony Bradford, they took a loss to UCLA. UCLA don't look that bad with that Michigan running back.
No.
That's one of Michigan running backs back there.
Yeah, man. It's going to be a fun season.
Yep.
Yep.
Khalil Pimpleton, them, and the crew, they did a pretty good job. Yeah. They had a loss to Missouri. Yep. Close game, though.
Yeah, Corey Sullivan.
Scored two touchdowns.
Touchdowns.
That boy is end zone. He's end zone friendly. That's what I call him. And like the speed is not there, but as a basketball athlete, he was most all around.
Yeah.
He could do everything.
Wide receivers, you know, it's okay to have speed, but a coach would rather have a guy that know how to run his routes and get open and get positive yards versus every time he touched the ball, he has to be a game break.
I'm going to give him a compliment for that kid. He reminded me of Shannon Sharp when he played for the Broncos. Because Shannon Sharp, you know, he was a tight end. He was a wide receiver. And when I see him, Ja'Cory, he reminded me a lot of Shannon Sharp when it comes to his mannerism, how he carries himself, respectable guy, and how he played. It's kind of similar to that.
If you get a look in the NFL, that's where he's going to – they'll put him at tight end.
Yeah, he reminded me of Shannon Sharp. He's got that Shannon Sharp type of
game. Hands.
Yes, he does.
Got the hands, man.
Got the basketball hands.
Yeah.
And he could play point guard, he could play shooting guard, small forward. And I'm looking at that on the field, I'm like, he's a threat.
Yeah.
Yep, I like that. Yeah, yes, so. I like that.
Yeah, they have LSU on their schedule, too.
Yes.
Central does.
Yes, they do. So that's a good, another Muskegon connection.
Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully they'll go down there and get a W.
And hang out afterwards. Get some good food. But it's still kind of, you know, still got a little weather. But that's in a different area of Louisiana.
Yeah, Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
Right now, you know, things have quieted down.
Yes.
It's just hot as all get out. But, you know, this is that time of the year, man, when you get storms in that area. So hopefully the weather holds up and they don't have to, you know, postpone the game.
Yes, life happens. And then getting close to home, we got, first off, we'll give credit to the Muskegon Heights Tigers officially being 3-0 because Orchardview don't have a football team.
Okay.
So they officially 3-0, which probably since the Snead era, we've got to go back to probably 2009.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
2010
man.
For that.
Yeah.
And but then that's one of Snead's proteges, Van Parker.
Okay.
That played Division II football, that played professionally, semi-pro.
Okay.
And played in college and was a decent player in high school. So he's coaching the program, and he's a certified teacher. So he put it together in the classroom and on the field. So
doing a good job, right?
Yeah. But that speaks volumes about our area in a plus because you look at Muskegon playing a juggernaut in Cass Tech and saying, okay, we got a young team. We still got Miles. We still got some young people.
Oh, man.
But even though you ran from us, Cass, when we were supposed to play y'all when we had these numbers, we'll still play you.
We're still going to play you. Yeah, because it's going to be a benefit to us with the new playoff format, even though, you know, before you get penalized when you lost games. Now
you get points,
you get points for playing teams that are higher up, right?
Yes, sir.
They're Division I, we're Division III, and based on the numbers, we could wind up in IV. I don't know, you know, student enrollment.
Yes, sir.
So taking that to an account, we still took the game, right? And we are going to be better for taking that game in the long run.
Because when you think about – when you think about it, advertised 17 Division I athletes, which is possibly looked like they had 20 to me.
University of Cass Tech is what I coined them as.
That's right.
You know, they were huge. The quarterback was everything and more.
He was great. He was going to play. He could play quarterback at the next level because everything he threw was spot on. He knew his reads. He knew his coverage. Because Muskegon is a good defensive team when it comes to coverage.
No doubt. Yeah.
That's Shane's signature.
Right.
We're going to play good D. We're going to worry the quarterback. But that was a great example of a display of like, okay, we're in a program space, and this is the teams that Muskegon plays, but you got to think, Muskegon got all this history of being a great program.
Yeah.
That they're going to play teams like this, and they're going to get the best of us. But this is what I do as a coach, being a former coach and then being in spaces. I still look for the rays of light and hope in those spaces. So I really like how Sugan played, the Piggy Boy. The quarterback, Miles.
Jacob.
Yep.
Jacob Price played an excellent game.
The Shabazz boy, Shabazz grandson, the slot, he did a good job.
Yeah, I can't recall all the names.
I don't have the roster right now, but I just noticed I saw flashes of kids doing great jobs while they were playing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, half our team are 10th graders, right?
Yeah. So when you put a string, you're talking about putting a whole game together against 20 Division I players.
It's hard, man.
That's recruited for a program. And we just say, okay, you in the neighborhood, you from Wood Street, you from over here, all right, you go to school, you been since sixth grade, come on over.
Yeah.
That's how we got to do it. We can't say, oh, you at Mumford and you the quarterback? Come on over here.
Yeah.
We can't do that here.
No, we can't.
And let you play right away.
Nope. So, hey, my hat is off to him, right?
Yes, that's right.
And, you know, like I say, we'll be a better team for it. And it was well worth the risk of playing a Cass Tech. And they will win the Division I state championship. You heard it here first.
Yes.
That Friday after Thanksgiving, they will be playing for the Division I championship. And whoever they play will get beat.
Oh, that's the truth. That's the truth.
Simple as that, man.
So take that L. And then speaking of, Mona Shores lost to King, right?
King got Mona Shores back.
Got them back.
Yep. So, you know, Shores is probably in the same boat where they had that great run of 2 years in a row.
And they're building.
Okay, so that's going to make interesting week seven when we go over to Mona Shores.
Now, they still got pieces left, but like Robeson's still there. He's decent.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're talking about young players that's learning the system.
Mm-hmm.
And you graduate a lot off to college and doing things. So you can't be mad at our area that we standing tall against metropolitan areas.
Yeah.
When we are considered, I would say, Muskegon rural area to me.
Yeah.
It's not a city.
Yeah, you're competing with an area that has 750,000 people that you can basically recruit from. So
that's right. Hey, from family.
We're good.
Yeah, we're good.
We're all right.
Yeah, and I just want to say that. And then the highlight for me of the game was the Cape Crusader.
the dastardly deed.
Cape Crusader. He came through and got him a nice pick six.
Right.
And took it to the end zone.
At halftime. So I don't know if he was from Detroit.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was from Muskegon.
Yes, sir.
But it played out in a way where people didn't know if it was for real or if it was a stunt. Right. And people just kind of froze. Nobody really took off after him. You know, some of the players just kind of shrugged their shoulders. Police officer standing on the wall that he scampered over, looked at him, fire department, which I don't never expect those guys. They're on call, right? They got other things to worry about. They're watching the game. But it was very, very interesting. How many views you said this got on YouTube?
Like, I think TikTok or something. Someone TikTok? Told me like 3 million.
Okay, so he's getting paid now.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, when you get those many views from a TikTok, there's a cha-ching attached to that.
Yeah, it's coming. So, you know, who would think to do it at a high school game?
Right.
You know,
so, somebody need to offer a reward for the football, right?
Yep.
Bring us the football back, and you'll get $10. I don't know.
And then Herman Moore was in the
building?
Yeah, in the crowd. So, I guess he probably got a son or a coach or something that's with Cass Tech.
He was with the Bally Sports.
Oh.
He was a sports announcer.
Oh, as the marketing and advertising.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So he spent a lot of time with Muskegon people. They posted a lot of – he was in our souvenir shop posting with the alumni, posed with a lot of players. So he was here as an ambassador
for
Bally Sports.
Yeah, I used to have a membership at Bally's when I was in Detroit. It's a nice place.
Yeah.
Yes.
So seemed like a really people kind of a person. And I'm glad he was able to come over here and be a part of this broadcast. And, you know, I had my reservations about them and the broadcast, but after I got to see it on TV, top notch, first class.
Right, for high school kids, that's professional. That's professional.
They did a great job.
Yep, and our kids need that platform.
Yeah.
So it was a good opportunity and everything. So, you know, speaking of platforms, I mean, we got the transition in Afghanistan. We got the president asking for money for Louisiana. We got him asking money for
infrastructure.
New York
global
area.
Warming.
Man, it's serious. I mean, it goes back to more for Al Gore.
Okay.
I'm going to say that. Anybody remember when Al Gore ran for president?
And that was his platform.
Wow.
And this was how many, 20 years?
20 years ago. Probably, you know, 2004.
Something
he was running
like
against Bush. He was running against Bush.
Yeah. And nobody took him serious.
Everybody laughed at him.
So,
and now we're in an area, we're in a region where we're sitting on top of Diamond in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And everywhere else, flooding, fires.
Well, we had an unusual
droughts.
Storm come through here yesterday.
Oh, yes, we did.
Okay.
The winds
I watched it come off the lake. It was a bad boy, man.
Yeah, space is shut down because I supposed to went out to dinner yesterday, and I couldn't do it. The place was closed.
Okay, no power.
We had to reschedule it for today.
Yeah.
So it happens.
Yeah, that was weird, man. Yep. Trees all. Look, golf course I play at university, I know just in passing, I counted 10 trees, huge, large trees that were down. The sign by, you know, they got the MCC sign out front.
Yes.
That bad boy gone.
Yes, because we had a meeting and we couldn't even have our meeting tomorrow.
Yeah, so whatever came through there, any kind of whatever straight line winds it were, tore it up, man. In all the years that I've been here, I've never seen that happen in that area anyway. So, but yeah, that was an amazing storm that came through here. And
wow.
Nobody was injured, which is even better.
That's, again, it goes back to infrastructure. Like,
yeah, and understanding this global warming, man. It's for real.
I don't know what, man. It's just, you know, we asking for this money, for the trillions to build, to go, to do. And it is pushback. We got the COVID still.
Yeah, COVID is still rampant, man. You know, we know of a young man that, you know, born, raised here in Muskegon, you know, great football player, admired by family and friends.
Class of 96,
Rico Piggy. Class of 96.
I grew up next to them. I grew up next to them. My grandmother lived right on Howell Street next to us.
43 years old, man.
My age.
That's young.
Same age as me.
Yeah.
And I nothing is promising. You got to always appreciate life as approach it with gratitude.
Yes.
And be grateful for the people that you come in contact with and the things you do, because we're losing people every day.
Yes, we are, man.
And what it does for us is it brings the reality of an epidemic. And the pandemic is for real.
It hits home.
Oh, that's over there. That's happening over there. That's no, that ain't gonna be me. That's them people over there.
No.
This is in our backyard. Yeah.
That's just what we know of, right?
Right.
Trust me, there are many others in our community
that has lost people.
That have lost people to COVID.
Yep.
And we'll definitely tell you that what the scientists are saying
is real
about masking and about vaccinations. It's the way you help prevent this from spreading. Before we get into our subject matter, today the Supreme Court of Texas said that the schools have a right to mandate masks.
Right.
You know, the governor fought it and said, nope, we're not going
to
mandate masks in the state of Florida. I will withhold funding and money and salaries. And the Supreme Court of Texas ruled he can't do it. You have a right to mandate mask in the school system.
Yeah, because Texas is already dealing with the abortion issue, and then they're talking about the providers that got to drive the people in. It's a lot of issues going on in Texas.
Yeah,
right
and
now.
Texas has one of the higher rates of the COVID Delta, along with Florida, Idaho.
Because those are the spaces that say, hey, let's go back.
Yep.
Let's go back to business. Let's keep on making this money.
Yep.
You don't have to close down.
Ignored
it.
Yeah, and you know, thing that everybody's concerned about now is this past weekend, Labor Day weekend, where a lot of family gatherings, a lot of football games where there was no limits on capacity. They are truly afraid that we're going to see a surge as a result of that.
A super spreader.
I
hope not either.
I hope not, man.
Super spreader.
Yeah. Yeah, because it could affect how we educate our children.
Definitely. I don't want it to stop because we got a lot of stuff planned for our students in our program that can change their life in the trajectory that they can realize their potential early in high school. and don't have to, and walk away from school with no debt when they go to college.
Okay.
Or if they go to 1 year or they get into a space where they can work, we want to make sure we're pushing, but we don't want to push it back against a pandemic to stop us from doing it.
Right. But I think our superintendent took the right course of action to say we will have masks.
That's right.
In the school, in the classroom, students, faculty, visitors will wear a mask.
Yep. For the safety of everybody.
Yeah.
You're definitely right. And, you know, speaking of the pandemic, I got this article. It's out of Kiplinger's, and it's a pretty good article. And it says, how to decide if it's your time for a career change. And I thought about it, right? It says, workers has prompt many the pandemic has prompted many workers to consider more fulfilling jobs. These people made it work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in this article, I read it, but I thought about myself because it didn't take a pandemic for me to change a career. It took a situation where it was an accident for me. And I said, what can I do differently in a skill set? And it's before everybody was changing careers or going back to school. I looked at my life in a way and said, okay, what skill set do I have I can go back to school for where I can still contribute to society? And what's the challenge behind it? And how can I help somebody else?
Mm-hmm.
So looking at this article, it was two situations. And one of them, and they have them already titled, and it says, one of them says, it's a young man that went from being a model enters the police academy. So when I read that title, Tony, at first I said, that's a woman. But then I thought about, oh, dudes are models too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? So you got guys that become models.
Get paid. Yeah.
Yep. So it's a 29-year-old model retail store manager and police officer. What do they have in common?
Nothing.
And I thought about that, right? And then the article went on to say customer service. And when you're a good police officer, you got customer service first because you're a community officer.
Okay. I like that concept.
So I said, okay, all right, that's good. But then it said, this person, his name is Gardner in the article, he wanted to change how community views police officers. So he comes from this background where in high school, he wanted to be a police officer. So, you know, you got your family, everybody convincing you, oh, no, son, don't do that. It's dangerous. Because he's in the Detroit area, Ypsilanti, urban area where it's possibly high crime.
Yeah.
So don't do that, son. Go to college. Do this. So he goes to Eastern Michigan University, and he majors in retail or business.
Okay.
Right? Human resources. Graduates, end up working for like Guess or like a company in Ann Arbor. You know, so he's working for this company and he's modeling for Guess.
Yeah, they basically get you to work, right? You can be a model for a number of product lines.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right?
So your agent gets you those jobs.
So then policing never left his mind. So it said he moved back to Michigan. So he moved to Atlanta because he's modeling, he's doing good, doing fashion week, and he blowing up, right? And when I say blowing up, he's doing a great job in the role of being a model. So it takes him all the way from Michigan to Atlanta. So he moved back in 2020 to Michigan in April. And he applied to be in the police academy through the Wayne County's Sheriff's Office in the Detroit Police Department. Now, the applications was put on hold during the pandemic, right? But then when they gave everybody the opportunity to say, all right, we're going to go back to work, they offered him an opportunity, but he had to pass the criminal background, right, the health screenings, and the final interview at the age of 29.
Wow.
We're not talking about no young man.
No, he's not.
We're talking about somebody probably been working 10 years in a different career, different field.
Okay.
But he said, I'm going to read what he wrote about in high school. He said, his sophomore year in English class, his teacher introduced him to his sister, an agent with the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, right? And the conversation helped seal his conviction that policing was the right path for him in the 10th grade.
Mm-hmm.
But based on what his family thought, oh, don't do it. Don't do it. It's dangerous, dangerous. But then now think back to the pandemic. A lot of businesses and establishments that require foot traffic were closed.
Right.
So there won't be no fashion shows, movies, and spaces where you can go and model because you can't have in-person stuff.
Right.
So a lot of stuff was done.
Studios.
Yeah, so a lot of stuff was done through animation. Where they was doing it on Facebook and they was making up these models and having fake people model the clothes, or they were doing their best to do their advertising, but they didn't need people in person no more.
Nope.
So he was out of a job, retail store closed. He had to move back to Michigan, and he said to himself, how can I be what I really want to be now?
Mm-hmm. 29 years old.
29 years old, right? So he got to the point during the pandemic, he said, I must hit the gym consistently to prep for the academy's physical requirement, and I also need to prepare my family for his move in the career field that they originally discouraged him.
Got to do what makes you happy, man.
Man, you got to do what makes you happy,
life
right?
Life's too short, yeah.
Life's too short. So this is the situation he was put in. So he had to work as a correctional trainee in order to complete it. It required him to work in the Wayne County Jail for a year while simultaneously going to the academy training at the same time at 29.
Okay, that's pretty aggressive training.
Yes, right? And at first he said he was worried. But then it got to the point, he says, I've talked to former Wayne County officers about their experiences. And they said, working at the jail isn't as crazy as it sounds. And he said, Gardner is expected to graduate from the academy in February 2022.
Okay, that's just around the corner.
He walked it down. He's in a new field, pension.
Okay.
Life insurance, health insurance, because that's a public employee. It ain't. Some fringe benefits in being a police officer.
Yeah, public servant.
Yeah, people think they don't make pretty good. They make a pretty good penny, especially in certain cities.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you could, and there's room for promotion in those spaces too. But imagine you go from, all right, I'm a model, to I'm doing what I wanted to do since the 9th or 10th grade.
Dream come true, man.
Man, they just had me think about our students and our program that I work with. Like, it's okay to make a decision and say, this ain't for me.
Right, a career change.
Or this is what I really want to do, because when you think about it, police don't make a lot of money to risk your life. No, this is what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You got people that's in the Army, in the Marines, they do 20 years, in the Navy. And so I'd rather go out doing what I love to do instead of being in a space where I'm bored.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there are people that walk into factories and facilities on a daily basis saying, I really don't want to be here. But you got to do something, right?
Yes, sir.
It's up to you to make that decision as to what you're going to do to get out of that situation. It has to be miserable, you know. And, you know, the story that you gave kind of leads into this, the next one about workers leaving early. And this article that I have comes out of a financial magazine. And it said more than 1 million older workers have left the labor market since March of 2020. Some Americans have been rethinking their priorities after the trauma of COVID-19, with a bigger nest egg to fall back on, thanks to the exorbitant financial markets. For others, the withdrawal may be involuntary, driven by a lack of employment prospects.
Wow. So people are saying basically, hey, and I'm thinking realistically for myself, like, okay, I can work online. Mm-hmm. I can relocate my family to a cheaper state. I mean, a lower standard of living. Okay. And still do my job where I don't have to commute as much, because now I can work from home.
And that's quite prevalent today.
So can I work out of state now and really go to a different tax base?
Yeah.
And that's what I was talking to someone from California the other day. And he's saying, imagine somebody being able to work at home when they don't got to live in California no more. And they can move to Muskegon.
Mm-hmm.
And they're making a salary of probably $250,000 a year. And they got $1 million mortgage. And they say they see a house off the water in Muskegon for $600,000. They think that's a deal.
Of course.
They had $1 million home at first.
Yeah, but you know what $1 million home in California looks like. Looks nothing like $2 million.
Rent.
Yeah. Okay. Nothing like what you see in Muskegon.
And they're moving. They're coming here.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why people are like, why that property so high? Why they buying the houses up? Because they're able to work from home now.
Yep.
I go out to the beach every day, and it's a lady, she took an early retirement, and I'm not going to mention no names, but she runs, when I'm exercising, she's usually out there. So I'm talking to her, I work from home. I'm like, where you from? California. And I'm like, I'm looking at her, I'm like, okay, tanned, mm-hmm. and she's carrying herself. For one, she approaching a black man at the beach.
Right.
And won't talk to me. I knew she was somewhere different.
Okay. Right.
Because he was like, hey, you motivate me. You inspire me. And I'm looking at her. She's, yeah, the real estate here was so cheap.
Yeah.
And I, yeah. And she said, well, my company told me I can work from home. She's like, well, I'm just going to leave and go to somewhere that's cheaper. And I'm going to retire and come back as a consultant.
Mm-hmm. Another career change.
So that's that article. You got people figuring out that I can make my money stretch longer and still get some of the same climate. So on Saturday, I'm out there last Saturday, and I'm out at the beach, and I'm walking on the shoreline. It's a guy walking with me. And then I go to, like, the store to pick up some alkaline water afterwards, right? And I'm walking. He said, hey, you was a guy just out at the beach. I was like, yeah, that was me. And he said, yeah, I'm here. I'm from California. He said the same thing.
Oh, another one from California.
I own a property off the lake. I moved here. And I'm like, he said, this is like a gold mine.
Okay.
This is a diamond in the rough. He said, I couldn't afford none of this like this in California.
Right.
So, audience, I'm going to share with you. It's already happening. People are realizing that it's time. They're retiring early.
Yep.
And they're figuring out they can shift their what they were doing in Cali or these spaces that with these exorbitant prices for houses, $1 million properties, and they can get them for half or a third when they come to a place like this and get some of the same amenities when it comes to living. And their dollar stretch a longer way when it comes to their standard of living.
Yeah. I mean, you know, commuting in California is absolutely ridiculous, right?
You got to get up probably 2 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. And just that whole concentration of people, you know, can wear on you. And every time you go somewhere, you got to wait in line, right, for everything you do in California because there's so many people. And then the other downside to it is, you know, the number of wildfires that they're having in California is just decimating that area, where to the point where they have to have alerts about air quality. So people that have respiratory type illnesses, you know, they're at risk now.
Yes, sir.
For being outside because these wildfires are so prevalent, along with the car emissions. So yeah, California is not as attractive as it used to be when you get later in your life, right? Young, you're probably really fascinated about it. But as you get older, your priorities change. Same things don't motivate you that did 30 years ago.
You're right.
You're looking for more of a even keel in your lifestyle. Some more control of your lifestyle.
You're
and
exactly
I think
right.
That's what COVID did to a lot of people. It said, hey, you really need to start thinking about what you're doing.
What's important. Yeah.
And what's important, you know. And when they started from working from home, people, you know, like, this works for me.
Yeah. Or when it comes to, like, think about the automobile you driving. And then when that pandemic came, you're like, hold up, this is sitting parked. Ain't nobody thinking about me driving this. I got this new car. Where you going to take it? I'm paying this car. No, this car sitting in this yard every day. Yeah. I ain't go to work no more in it.
Yeah. Paying insurance on it.
You're like, hold on, I need to get rid of this.
Yep. I need to be lowering the cost to get from A to B. I don't need to spend $2,000 a month to go from A to B. I can really get by with $300 a month.
Because for some people, it is. When you buy a brand new car, depending on your six-month policy, you buying something, $50,000, $60,000 average. A nice car now, if you get a brand new car, $50,000 at least.
Yeah.
For an LT model, limited model.
Yeah, and when you buy a car and you put on insurance, they always say, okay, worst case scenario is I have to replace this vehicle.
It's a $50,000 vehicle, it prays. Okay. Yeah. Even though the property value dropped on it when you get by it off the drive the lot.
Yeah.
But it's going to still be $30,000, $40,000. You're like, well, that's going to be every 6 months, depending on your credit and this, might be $2,400. You're like,
yeah,
I'm going to be paying $700 a month to drive this car.
Yeah, when you
and pay the note.
Yep.
And so, I only live 3 miles away from my job.
Rethink it, man.
Rethink it.
Priorities. For sure.
That's what the pandemic, I know, it definitely has taught me. Like, don't get to the point where you like, what are you doing it for?
Mm-hmm.
Is it really meeting your needs?
You have to ask those questions.
Yes, sir. So this is where we're going to take it. I know we're going to talk about more of the issues in the future where I got some more people that made some transitions. And we're just going to look at it at a financial reason because we are entering the fourth quarter of the year.
Yes, we are. Yep.
Some people haven't got their tax returns back.
Wow.
You know? And it's that backed up.
Yeah, because the IRS, they shut it down too. So, you know, things weren't getting processed at their location.
So it's not even the people's fault this time. It's like, IRS, like, wait, you got to wait.
Yeah, and they got to hire more people too because a lot of people didn't come back.
Yeah, they did. Like, this is too stressful. So this is amazing that it's about the all with the reset button, but then also with the reset button, people's changing careers, but lifestyle too.
Yes. Shifting. No doubt about it.
Diet, again, all that stuff's changing.
Yeah. You know, like I say, being at home with this time to really think, evaluate, assess where I want to go, have made people do those kind of reactions to change how they live, you know, change what they eat, change their spending habits, get more into wealth building versus debt building. So, you know, Corona, it was a bad thing. We can't discount that. But there were some things that came out of it that helped people understand more about the quality of life.
Yes, it is. Well, I'm Chauncey Williams.
I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.